Hi, everybody, and welcome to a very special... Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you do this weird voice during the intro every time. Let me do it. You Hi, do everybody. It. Welcome to this very special episode of the Blade Runner Minute Podcast, because we didn't give you enough details about the Blade Runners in this movie.
The actual Blade Runners.
So we apologize, so we're going to give you extra special, and we're going to call it...
Did you say bonus episode?
Do you want me to say bonus? It's a bonus episode. It's a bonus.
And it's called... And let me start over. Hi, everybody. And welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Blade Runner Minute Podcast. We're calling this one Meet the Blade Runners. Because I realized that Sandra didn't give enough info about Morgan Paul.
Because I suck.
Who plays Dave Holden. Or Eduardo Gaff, played by... Edward James Olmos, and we kind of didn't really get into
that minor character,
the newcomer, Harrison Ford, who plays Rick Deckard. So we figured we'd wait and just give you a bonus episode, very special episode where we give as much info as we could find about the Blade Runners. Is Bryant? Would you consider Bryant a Blade Runner?
I don't even know if Gaff's a Blade Runner.
Gaff's a Blade Runner. No, Gaff's totally a Blade Runner.
Did they say that in the movie?
Well, this isn't part of the actual Minute Podcast, so we can go spoilers, right?
Yeah,
Gaff.
But we shouldn't be talking about Gaff right now.
Why?
Because you told me to go with Holden first.
You just asked me if Gaff was a
Blade Runner. Because you started talking about it.
Well, because
this podcast is gonna make me file for divorce. If anyone wants to,
We're gonna go over the Blade Runners in the order that they appear in the film. So we're gonna start with Dave Holden, played by Morgan Paul.
With two L's.
Morgan Paul is born. His birthday is December 15th, 1944. Sadly, he died at the age of 67 on July 17th, 2012. He was a New York guy.
Woohoo!
Quite a few.
Should we make a list of who's a New York? New Yorker.
We got Eldon Terrell, mm-hmm. Joseph Turkel, born mm-hmm. in Brooklyn. We have
Morgan Paul
in New York. Somebody was from New Jersey, and I forgot, but it was either Joanna Cassidy or no, Daryl Hannah was from Chicago, I think. All right,
who cares?
Doesn't matter.
So, Morgan Paul, go ahead, tell me the rest of it. He was born in New York.
He made his film debut in Patton in 1970. He did a lot of TV stuff. Do you recognize him from anything except Blade Runner?
No. here's the thing, right? So go on with what else he was in.
He did a voice in GoBots.
Well, GoBots.
When we were kids, when we were like five. In 1986, yeah. He was on the Patty Duke show.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Gunsmoke.
One of my dad's favorite shows. And Gung Ho. He made the movie Gung Ho.
He was in the movie Gung Ho?
Mm-hmm. Different movie, though.
The Michael Keaton Gung Ho?
No, not the Michael Keaton. It's...
Which Gung Ho? What are you talking about? Did you mess up?
It's a Western.
Ah, okay. And he was in something called... I never saw it, but I thought it was interesting, called Beyond Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... why didn't I look that up to see if he played a human or a robot? Because that would be funny.
That would be funny.
That he plays a...
Beyond that, do you want to talk about his role in the movie first, or can I tell you more about him?
Please, tell me everything you got.
Okay, so Morgan Paul looks like Harrison Ford for a really good reason. And do you want to know these big reasons he looks like him?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
He was his stunt double.
No. They used him as the stand-in while doing the screen test for the ladies in the picture. So he...
The ladies?
Well, the ladies that they used to try to find for Pris and for
like
Sean Young.
Like an ensemble photo
shoot. So okay. He would spend like 2 hours with these ladies and he was Harrison's stand-in.
Right.
So they hired him for like 2-3 days of work. He worked with these ladies for like an hour or two and then they went before and did the screen test to see who would work. He recommended Daryl Hannah for Pris. He did not recommend Sean Young. He recommended Nina Axelrod.
Why do you keep... That's you keep...
Because I don't understand why she's not famous. I don't understand it. Not Daryl Hannah, but Sean Young.
I mean, Sean Young. Why you keep picking on Sean Young?
Because it drives me nuts that she's not famous. But this is not her podcast. This is his podcast episode, right? So they used him for... from Harrison stand-in, and it turns out that they actually knew each other before the movie filmed.
Harrison Ford
and Morgan Paul, they knew each other for a lot of reasons. They always went up for the same roles. They were always like the room, like Joey sitting in that room on Friends. With he's like, where on earth am I going to find my twin? And he's like, can I have a sandwich? He's like, we like pizza.
We like
pizza. So when they would ask for a certain kind of look, Morgan Paul and Harrison were always like right there together. Here's a little funny side note I found out. Morgan Paul was filming some movie. I don't know which one. I can't remember. And his agent called. No. The casting agent called and said, hey, we need you back in L.A. because we want you to audition for this great new movie by this director who's making his second movie ever. We think you'd be great for this role. He's like, but you got to come back right now. He goes to the director, the movie he's doing. He's like, of course, I'll let you go. Let's figure it out. He calls his agent. His agent goes, I don't think you should do it. The first picture from this director really didn't go anywhere. It wasn't a big deal. He was like, it's some kind of weird new thing. He's like, I don't think you should do it. Didn't go to the audition. Harrison Ford got the part, and now it's owned by Disney. They asked him to audition for Han Solo, and Harrison got the role. And I think he was a little bitter about it, because if you go onto his website, he has there's like transcripts of his interviews where he was like, oh, you know, luck of the draw, Harrison got it and not me. We were always going up for the same roles. So he was up to be, he could have been Han Solo.
Wow.
Like, this close. Could you imagine? He was like, obviously, I fired my agent after that.
Wasn't Kurt Russell pretty close to that role, too?
I don't know if it was as close as this. Like, that's crazy. And it's also interesting how they both got their start, right? Like, Harrison was doing these stand-ins for screen tests.
Yeah.
And then got the role. And then he got the role of Holden the same way. He was doing the screen test, and they really loved him and said, we have a role for you in the movie. Oh,
that's great.
So isn't that interesting that, like...
It is.
They had very similar starts to their career, but one is now a superstar, I guess?
We're in spoilers. We're full spoilers the whole episode. Do you think the reason... First of all, do you think Deckard's a replicant? Ridley Scott says yes. Harrison Ford says no. I think the writers are torn. I don't remember.
Yeah, they go half and half.
I gotta go with
Philip K. Dick says no.
Okay.
Based on the... Well, I really want to talk about this during the Harrison Ford episode. Can we do that? During
well, the Harrison he, here's, episode? All right, so we'll talk about half of it now. We'll come back to it later. Sure. Because it pertains to Morgan Paul. Do you think Morgan Paul...
No.
Was cast as a replicant?
No.
The same... I mean, cast as a Blade Runner. The same as... Harrison Ford, because they look similar, because they're all replicants.
No.
Okay.
I actually had the feeling that they used Holden as the model for the Blade Runners.
In what way?
Like, remember that movie AI with Steven Spielberg?
Wait,
right?
Who? You're talking about in the movie or in the like movie. The production?
In the movie.
So, in the fictional world?
In the fictional universe. Okay. That he is the original.
He's the original?
Of the Blade Runners, right? He is a human. He's a Blade Runner.
I wouldn't say he's the original. There's a whole squad.
No, but I think they modeled a line of Blade Runners, replicants.
Of replicant Blade Runners.
It's possible on him. Like, there could be a whole bunch of gaps out there.
So I got to ask you then, because it's going to take too long to complete that question. So then you do think Rick Deckard is a replicant?
I don't.
Based on
Holden. I don't, actually.
That if you did, because I think I do now. Now, right now, here on the spot.
I'm 60-40.
I never did before.
I'm 60-40.
I think because I go back you just convinced me, though. If Holden was the best, or at least really good, good enough for Bryant to go to Tyrell and say, if you're gonna make replicants that are Blade Runners, let me suggest you model them after
Wait,
this guy.
I'll do you one
and
better.
And then Deckard was your first.
I'll do you one better. You know what else Morgan
Paul did?
Replicant
Blade Runner, because I don't think Gaff's a replicant.
Morgan Paul did?
What?
Not only was he Harrison stand-in for the screen tests, when they couldn't get Harrison for the voiceovers for the trailers, they used Morgan Paul.
Oh, that's just sad, though. This poor guy was like so close to being the star of...
It's really sad.
Of Blade Runner.
But he has some great interviews. If you go on his website... I think it's like morganpaul.com. Like, his family has kept it up and running. There are transcripts of his from an interview he did with, I think it was a website called Blade Zone. It's like a Blade Runner fan group.
Fan group, yeah.
I don't know if it's still around. I didn't check. I didn't have a chance. But these were from like 2 years before he died. He gets really in depth on what the shoot was like, how grueling it was. he really, like, gives you a lot of information you wouldn't know, like, why the Ridley's version, original version, was so long. He goes, we would just shoot stuff, and he would love the look of it, and be like, I'm going to stick it somewhere because it looks so good.
Well, that's why they went over budget, and
it was so expensive to make.
He lost the movie.
He's like, people just, they just couldn't handle it, but he was also the marrying kind.
The marrying kind.
He was married 4 times.
Wow. So he's not the marrying kind.
He is the marrying kind because he doesn't just date you, he marries you.
He sounds like the divorcing kind because he got divorced 4 times.
But then he would always get remarried. He would always get remarried. But if we go back to the movie.
I'm a 4-time champion. You mean you lost the championship 4 times?
He also had other scenes in the movie that we didn't see. That if you have the special edition DVD, right?
Or any of the special features. Yeah, I have the 5-disc Blu-ray.
If you have it. Then on there, and if you
we have it on iTunes if you want to watch it.
But not, I'm talking about them, the people out there who are in the microphone listening to us. Yeah, like Shiny Time Station.
If anybody wants to come over and watch, that's what I meant.
On my laptop.
If anybody listening wants to come over and watch Blade Runner special features and deleted scenes on my laptop in my home, be my guest. Yeah, Holden's still alive.
Yeah, they said he was. They actually say it in the movie. You can kind of catch it, right? He's all right. He's all right. As long as you don't unplug him.
He can breathe all right as long as you don't unplug him.
He's all right as long as you don't unplug him.
It's a great line. It's a great line.
But there actually is 2 scenes with him and Harrison in the hospital where he's questioning him about the test and his thoughts on it.
I didn't picture him being that alive. When the response was, you know, when he says, send Holden, he's pretty good. He can breathe all right as long as you don't unplug him. I figured that meant he was dying.
Yeah.
But then in this deleted scene, he's there, he's chipper, he's pissed off. They're just like us, Deck.
I also got the impression in those deleted scenes that Gaff and Bryant, or at least Bryant, were watching the conversation between Harrison and Morgan Paul. Did you get that impression? Like, there's maybe like a two-way mirror or something? Like, I got that impression.
Say Deckard and Holden.
Deckard and Holden.
Because you just confused the hell out of
me. I know. I have 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
No, I have 10 minutes, but I like to give you a 5 minute.
So we're going to have to continue this.
No, we have a lot. How long did you want this episode to be?
We did 12 minutes on Holden. So we're going to probably do 10,
minutes.
Oh, I
thought it was going to be 3 different episodes. I totally didn't get that. Okay, no. I thought we were doing
I wanted to do a whole special.
Oh, of just them? That's
all of them
better.
in one episode.
Let's do it.
Well, no, not if you got 5 minutes.
I got 10 minutes. I can do this.
Honey, there's no way I'm
end scene.
Hold
let's
on.
Go.
This is fine. We're gonna
well,
stop
that's
here.
That's why I said, like, let's not talk about Deckard yet. I thought that was a different episode. Let's do it. Let's go to Edward James Olmos because it's really hard to find stuff.
I don't want to squish all this into.
We're not going to squish it. I got 10 minutes.
Stop for a second. This is beautiful. 12 minutes for Holden, and then I figured like 7 to 10 for Gaff, and probably 15 to 20 for Deckard.
So then
Deckard.
Let's
we
do
don't
that.
Have the time.
No, let's do Gaff. Let's do Gaff.
Now I'm just going to sit here and stare at you and run out the clock because
do
I don't.
You
like,
want me to pick my nose?
I don't like the way you're talking to me. I didn't have much on Gaff. So Eduardo Gaff. You don't hear his first name in the movie. He used I don't think you do. Anyway, played by Edward James Olmos. I love this actor.
You want to give him some biographical of what he's done? Because you talked a lot about what Morgan Paul did. And
the 80s babies. We love us some Edward James Olmos. So what? He was in. Well, first of all, his birthday is damn close to mine. I'm February 28th. He's February 24th.
Send them a card.
1947. He's 71 years old, looking good.
I think he looks better now than when he did younger because he's grown into that distinctive skin quality he
has. I haven't seen him except for 2049, and he was in makeup, so I don't know, in Blade Runner 2049. But
that's really what it looks like.
The last time I actually... I like
that he's still wearing the bow tie.
Kind of got a Colonel Sanders thing going on in that movie, but I like him from... Battlestar Galactica, but that was a long time ago.
You know, you say Battlestar Galactica, but you know what I remember him in?
Selena's dad.
How did you know I was going to say Selena? My dad and I used to watch that movie all the time. That was up there with him, with those Gunsmoke and all those Bonanza shows.
He's been in tons of movies, nothing that we're familiar with.
What are you talking about? Stand and Deliver. He got an Oscar nomination.
Okay.
Settle down,
Miss. Was that in Star Wars?
He was the first Hispanic man to be nominated for an Oscar. No one's ever... They'd never nominated a Hispanic man for the best actor Oscar.
Jesus, you're out of the words.
He was on Dexter.
Yeah, I remember Mandela. Oh, He's been on a ton of TV stuff. Hawaii Five-0, Starsky and the original Hawaii Five-0, Starsky and Hutch, the old TV show, the original Chip show, Miami Vice.
He's been in a ton of things. Yeah. I'm going to do you better even more. Ready?
Go ahead.
He was up for it to be Captain Picard.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was in Star Trek Next Gen, and he passed on it. He was also up
for... Oh, not up. You're probably the...
No, he passed.
They offered him the job?
Yeah, and he passed. He didn't want to do it. He was almost in Star Trek 3 as well, but the role went to Christopher Lloyd instead.
Okay.
Okay.
He's a big sci-fi guy.
Yeah. He's a quarter...
How did that start, though?
He's a quarter Hungarian Jewish.
Really?
And, yeah, so he's Mexican-American and Catholic, and he's Hungarian Jewish. So this is important for later, so keep that in mind. He's also been accused of assault twice.
What kind of assault?
Of the sexual nature.
Really?
Yeah.
Like recently?
Not as recently you think. One case they settled for Pat, like $150,000. Oh, that's 14-year-old girl.
Oh, come on, really?
Yeah, he said he did it to protect his son. And another was an older woman who said he
did it to protect his grandma?
Yeah. But that being said, he is an extremely talented person. He's actually a very smart man. He speaks a lot of languages, so the city speak in the movie was his idea because he actually speaks those languages. So in case you don't know, city speak is a mixture of like Creole Spanish, French, German, Hungarian, Chinese, and Japanese. I think it reminds me of...
We covered that in the minutes.
Just to make sure they know. Okay. It reminds me of Esperanto, the UN made-up language.
You've said this in the episode.
I like Esperanto. Okay. What do you want me to tell you? Okay. I also like that Deckard pretends not to understand what he's saying when...
He doesn't understand it.
You say that, but I think everyone understands a little city speak.
Well, in the version of Blade, in the original version with the voiceover, on their way to see Bryant, Deckard's voiceover tells us that Gaff didn't shut up the whole way over. I don't know what he was talking about. He could have been talking about these replicants, or he could have been talking about his girlfriend's butt. I wouldn't know, and neither would surprise me.
I always took it
as...
I'd
like you to verify there are no words. I don't know if I got it word for word, but that was pretty good.
I know, but I would like
to... I finally remembered something.
Which is a version that we're not going by, so it's fine. I never took it as he didn't physically understand. I undertook it as, you know, when someone just starts rambling. I took it as that it was just like when someone starts rambling and you tune them out.
Yeah.
And think, like, because obviously Deckard's going to something big and heavy. He's not really listening to the gobbledygook being spewed out of the person who's sitting next to him.
Well, he clearly didn't understand what Gaff said because he asked the waiter at the White Dragon.
I thought that was just a disrespectful thing
he did. At the noodle bar to ask him what he said.
I think that was just a disrespectful thing that he was doing.
He said, you bray runner.
No, I think he was just doing it to be douchey.
Tell him I'm eating.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you could say douchey. We could say,
I think he was just being mean.
Do you want to turn this into an R-rated...
You have to give an explicit warning.
This flipping blade.
Flipping. You made up a new one the other day. Use a made up word. But I wonder, does he actually do origami or someone else making the origami that Gaff does in the movie?
I don't know. There's editing involved.
Hard to tell. And there's not really any information. Like, there's no information online that tells you who else was up for that role. Like, for Deckard, 1,000 big name actors were in the running. But for Gaff, it was kind of like a side note. He really doesn't say much in the movie. He's quiet in most of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the walk softly but carry a big stick. Like, he doesn't say anything, but he speaks like volumes with the origami shit that he makes that he leaves around.
Will you cuss him?
I can't help it because the origami is so impressive. Do you know how hard it is to make an origami unicorn?
Yeah, we have a picture of it up on
but
the...
But his was teeny tiny. It was made from the silver foil of a cigarette pack. That is like...
On our Facebook group, we have a picture of the origami unicorn that Sandra made me for, what was it, Father's Day or a birthday?
I think it was your birthday.
It was beautiful.
2 years ago.
That's a morbid quote, though, that you put. It's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does?
But that's what he says.
Okay, why?
But I don't take it as morbid.
But my wife gave me that.
No, but I don't take it as morbid.
The word she is in there.
But I never took it as morbid.
She won't live. What are you...
But I never took it as morbid.
Are you sick? Are you trying
I
to tell
I never
me?
Took it as morbid. You
do
know
I gotta, do I got to cook my own breakfast from
do
now
Do we
on?
Have to talk about the unicorn now, or can we talk about it when we see it in the movie?
Yeah, we can talk about it later.
Okay. So, this origami...
How do you not slap me in the face? I just
really,
said, are you
really
sick?
To.
I'm going to have to make my own breakfast.
I really want
I'm
to,
sorry.
But I really... It's so difficult to make an origami unicorn, and he made it teeny tiny. It was like, what? 2-3 inches tops because it was the silver foil from an inside of a cigarette pack. Like, this is not easy. So the first origami he makes is he makes a little chicken.
Yeah.
When Deckard's talking with Brian.
Next to the ashtray.
And he's completely, like, making a comment on Deckard.
Oh, you think?
100%.
Have you done research on this, or this is just something that you came up
both,
with?
Both, but I came up with it first, and I was glad, I was gratified to see
you
that,
heard it
right?
Here first. Chickenies, he's a coward?
You're a coward because you're a little afraid of this.
Really? So
yeah,
what's
it's the tone of the room.
So what's the matchstick man with the penis sticking
I
out?
I can tell you what people say there.
At Leon's apartment.
But that's the only one that I was it doesn't make
sense.
What
do you think?
So,
do you agree with me that there's a penis on that matchstick?
Yeah, that's a man with an erect penis.
Okay.
And it's a matchstick origami, yeah.
What did I say?
No, I was just making sure people know it's matchsticks and not just paper
origami. At Leon's place. That's the second one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I took it as you're rifling through his stuff, so you're a big old pervert.
Oh, you think every origami he's making is a judgment on Deckard?
Yes, on Deckard, 100%.
You're a pervert going through...
100%. You're a pervert going through this man's stuff.
What did you read other people's opinions?
Other people are like, oh, it's because Deckard likes Rachel, so he's showing you have an erect penis for looking at Rachel. But we don't know if Gaff knows all the details about Rachel
because they never speak. That's a few minutes
That's a stretch.
I like what your theory is. I like your theory.
You're perfect because you're going through someone else's shit.
And the third one.
The third one is a unicorn.
Pretty obvious.
Well, no. No. You know why? Depends on the version you're watching.
What are you talking about?
It depends on the version you're watching.
The last version of the movie. All right. Hold on a second. I'm always one to play devil's advocate. But there's a director for the film. He made the movie. It's his vision. He wants it to convey a certain message. Ridley Scott says Deckard's a replicant.
Okay, fine.
Case closed.
But he told Harrison he wasn't when they were filming.
And Harrison says, I don't care what he says now.
Because that's not what we filmed
he's not a replicant.
Right.
I agree with that too. But the scenes have been changed. The ending of the movie has been changed.
I'm going to tell you what I think.
There's a unicorn origami.
I think it means more than one thing.
On the floor, and there's a dream.
Okay.
In the middle of the movie, the replicant that Deckard has of a unicorn prancing through a forest. It looks like Gaff saw Deckard's memory of the unicorn.
Or knows it from his file.
Or knows it from his file, whatever, and made the origami for him to tell him, I know what you are, and you better run, because I'm a Blade Runner. I'm going to kill you and your girlfriend. With her pretty poofy hair.
I think it means more than that.
Okay, it could be. I'm just
because it is. You know. It is about that. I know you have a matching dream to the other replicants, but I also think of it as because the unicorn's like running. You're dreaming. You can run if you like. You can run, but she won't make it even if you run. Just so you know, because I am after you. Like you guys can run. But she's still not going to make it, whether I catch her or she dies.
I like run. I like the message being simply run.
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 Yeah. Also, unicorns are myth.
Your relationship with her
is a myth.
You're dreaming if you think you can outrun me or outrun the truth,
really,
which is
true.
She's dead in a year
or less. And you're dead. It doesn't matter.
Could be something
dead.
Like that. I like all of
then
those.
Then there's the sheep he makes for Kay in 2049.
Oh, we're going to talk about... We're not talking about...
Can we just... Because it's still Gaff. We're talking about Gaff. He makes Kay a sheep.
Right.
Because you're following the company line. Yeah. Just a bunch of sheep. Bad. Yeah. Like, you are a sheep. This is what you do. And I think it really starts to have that emotional impact on Kay. So, Gaff really should have killed Rachel. Right? We're clear on that. She's a replicant. That's Gaff's job. He should have done it.
Well, he was supposed to, yeah.
Yeah. But he doesn't.
And Deckard. He was supposed to kill Deckard, too.
Does it mean he likes Deckard? Because through the whole movie, I got the impression that Gaff doesn't like Deckard. And now it feels like he does. Because he didn't kill him. He's giving them a shot.
Yeah, he probably respects
And I know
him.
Part of it is he feels, well, she's going to die anyway, so it doesn't matter. And she isn't really one of those dangerous replicants. You guys just want to go off and, like, slap body parts together if replicants to do that. I don't know.
Who might interfere?
What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty clear.
But he didn't like him for the rest of the movie, right?
I love the last line he says to Deckard. One of the last lines he says, you've done a man's job or a man's work or you've done a man's job.
Because he's not a man?
Because he's not a man.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't like that. And part of why
I like the way he says it, though.
Part of why,
Edward James
to
Olmos,
me...
It's a good scene.
Because I've read the book, and I hate to say things like that.
Done a man's job.
Because I've read the book... To me, he is not a replicant.
But anyway, wait. My point is,
let's talk
to answer your question, yeah, there is like a camaraderie there. and a respect coming from.
Do you think so? Because in the beginning, I didn't get that at all.
I agree with you, but I think towards the end, he was impressed with Deckard
because he did it, even though he may himself be a replicant. And again, he's starting to have those doubts.
Yeah, and again, because they didn't know each other because Gaff was new. We don't know that because this isn't the version with the voiceover, but there is a line from Deckard in the voiceover version where he says Gaff was new to the Blade Runners.
Which is really dumb.
That's fine. No, because if you want to disallow it,
I'm going to disallow it only because in 2049, Gaff clearly tells Kay that they were partners, but then decided to go their separate ways because they worked better on their own.
Wait, did he say that?
Yeah.
No, he didn't say they were partners.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, we worked together. We're partners. It's a plot hole.
We'll wait until we do that.
Because them working together for 5 minutes to look through Leon's apartment does not make them partners.
Why not?
He said, I knew him a long time. You didn't know him a long time.
If he says they're partners, this counts. It's fine. That's okay. Because it's something. Otherwise, it's a plot hole.
It is a plot hole.
Not even a plot hole. Just a stupid thing to say. It's like you didn't even look at
him. He also was like, I knew him a long time. You didn't know him a long time.
I'm not sure that's true, though. I think you're making all this up.
I'm telling you.
I think you're just lying.
You've seen the movie like 5 times. I've seen it once.
Ryan, I don't remember him saying that.
Pookie, you keep asking me about other things in this. And you're like, how come I can't remember things and I have such poor vocabulary for this?
You want to come...
Although you said trash vocabulary, not poor.
I have a feeling that the Harrison Ford / Rick Deckard episode is going to be...
a half hour all by itself.
Yeah, so do you want to call this one episode and the other one...
Stop saying call this episode.
No. Do you want to call this a complete episode?
Oh, okay. I know, but when you say call, I think you mean like me.
Would you stop yelling at me? I'm a really good guy. And I don't deserve the betrayal of this one.
Just ask me how come I don't smack your arm more.
So yeah, you want this to be... This is an episode?
Yeah, I hope.
And the next one is
so.
Its own episode?
Yeah.
All right, so this is originally going to be one special. It's going to be two now. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll see you for the regular minutes.
And the
next week. And the special will be coming up in a week or so after that. We'll spread them out. Later.
Gators. That I'll treasure.